This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Yasmeen Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. I am actually coming to you live from close to the East Coast. As many of you know, in the United States and elsewhere around the world, that there is a storm, a gigantic storm hitting much of the Northeast in the United States. I am currently in Ohio, so alhamdulillah, we have not yet been hit too hard. But for example, I just noticed, I heard from my sister, a few hours ago that they lost power in DC, and subhanAllah, there's been news all over of the death count rising, and floods. I mean, I saw pictures, on the news in New York City, and it looked like a whole bunch of cars just got swallowed up by a swamp. Subhanallah. So there is a massive storm hitting the United States right now, and I wanted to talk today about the storm on many levels, inshallah. First of all, I actually want to hear from those who are experiencing the storm. We want to hear about what's happening there. I know that a lot of people have lost power, but other, just hearing from your experiences. And then I want, inshallah, for us to reflect on this. And there's a reason why I want us to reflect particularly on what's going on, and that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. This is a very, very profound and deep ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Imran, that indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alteration of day and night are signs for those of understanding. Ulil albab, alladhina yadhkuruna Allaha qiyaman wa qu'udan wa 'ala junubihim, those who remember God standing and sitting and on their sides. So these are people who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every single position, in every situation of life. They remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقْعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. These are those people who are able to read and understand the signs in the heavens and the earth and the alteration of day and night, as Allah says, because Allah has told us that in those things are signs. But the question is whether or not you can see a sign, because a sign can be right in front of your face, but if you are blindfolded or you are blind, you won't see it. And this is the case with the signs in the heavens and the earth. Only a certain group of people will be able to understand those signs and see them for what they are. And that group of people are described as ulil albab, those of understanding, those of intellect, those who have that depth of understanding and who reflect on these things. Those people, and then Allah goes on to qualify them as those who remember Him standing, sitting, and on their sides. When they do that, they come to a very important realization, and that is, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ. Oh my Lord, you have not created all of this baatilan. You have not created all of this without a purpose, without a reason. There's no reason why it's happening. It's just, purposeless and coincidental. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not do anything without a purpose. So these are those who look around and they are led to this understanding that that you did not do all of this. You did not create all of this in the heavens and the earth without a purpose. Subhanak. Allah is high above doing anything without a purpose. And then there's a very, very important end result that they are led to, as we're told in this ayah. Faqina adab an-nar. So protect us from the punishment of the hellfire. Now, I want to take a moment to reflect on this and why this has anything to do with the storms that's hitting us now. What is the connection between this ayah or these reminders in the Quran and what's happening to us now? First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here that there is nothing that He has created in the heavens and the earth, except that it has a purpose, that all of these things are actually signs. When Allah creates the sun and the moon and the stars, that is a sign. When Allah sends a storm, that is a sign. When Allah makes it rain, that is a sign. When Allah sends winds up to 75 miles an hour, that is a sign. When Allah uproots a gigantic oak tree, in front of our eyes, we can see it in front of our eyes. That is a sign. If we go through these things, we experience these things, even we see these things on the news, and we don't understand the sign and the message in it, then we have missed the point. The sign is there for us to read and to understand and to reflect on. So then the question is, what is it that we're supposed to be getting from it? It's a sign of what? It's what is the lesson in this? And you'll notice that first, those who reflect on these signs are led to the first realization, which is رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. First realization is to know and acknowledge that it isn't without a purpose, that there is a purpose of why it's raining right now. There is a purpose of why the winds are so high and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done this. There is a reason. So that's the first realization and the first lesson and understanding is that there is a purpose and that this does not happen haphazardly or without a reason. Second, that immediately leads those of understanding to the next realization, which is فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Now, this seems like a jump somewhat, because first it's the people are saying, the people are acknowledging that all of this is not done without a purpose. And then immediately they're led to, so protect us from the punishment of hellfire. What's the connection? What's the connection between realizing and reading the signs in the heavens and the earth and knowing that it's not without a purpose and protecting us from the hellfire? And really, when you look at it, you understand that if this is a sign, if this is just one, you know, glimpse of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this should wake us up. This should make us truly understand, even, you know, imagine what is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. And we ask Allah to protect us from His wrath. We ask Allah to protect us from the hellfire. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just giving us a glimpse. When Allah allows the earth to shake for just a few seconds, it's called an earthquake. Do you know the damage that an earthquake does? You know, if you look at really what is happening, just a few seconds of shaking, and look at the damage and the death count that can happen as a result. Now, Allah is telling us that the day of judgment isn't just a few seconds of the earth shaking, but Allah describes these things for us. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. Allah is describing, you know, not just a few seconds, you know, just a little segment of the earth shaking, but the entire earth shaking, and Allah describing the heavens opening up like doors. And, you know, these are things that are so awesome that we can't even imagine. Allah sends us signs in this life so that we get a glimpse of it, in order that we can really, really wake up from our deep coma. We are in a deep coma, subhanAllah. We have so many gadgets. We have so many distractions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a storm like this, and in a second, all power is gone. All power is gone. You can't turn on the light. You can't plug in your laptop. You lose that ability. You know, those things that you depend on, they're gone in a second. Here, you know, again, these are things to wake us up, things to remind us, and things to bring us back to the understanding, really, that Allah is the one in charge, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you know, it's because he is, because of his mercy, that we haven't already been destroyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to completely erase all of us. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just giving us a glimpse. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as those people in Surah Al-Imran are described as saying, فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ. When you, whether you are experiencing directly this storm, or you are seeing it on the news, or you're reading it on the internet, please don't miss the point. Don't just look at it and say, wow, right? Like, oh man, and that's it, and then move on with your life. But please let it show you and let realize the point of it. رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ. Allah, you have not created all of this without a purpose. You're high above that. فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the punishment of the hellfire. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from His wrath and His displeasure. Inshallah, we will take a short break now. And when we return, we will open up the chat box. I want to hear from you, whether you're on the East Coast or you know, any experiences that you're having personally or those near you with this storm, inshallah ta'ala, when we return. غرباء 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 ولغير الله لا نحن السلام عليكم. This is Yasmin Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want to make dua for all those people who are right now without power due to the storm, or who are, you know, stuck in the grip of the high winds and the rain at this time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect them and their families, and to make them safe. We also ask that these and other signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wake us up and remind us, as they are intended to do, about the reality of this life and of the next, and of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make it a reminder of coming back to Allah. It is out of His mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends us warnings, and that Allah sends us reminders. You know, if you're worried about your child, for example, and every time your child starts to get close to something harmful, the child starts to get close to the fire. Every time that you see that happening, you would, out of your mercy for your child and, you know, protection and protectiveness over your child, you're going to remind the child, remember, don't get close to the fire. Remember, you know, remember that you are, the fire burns. Remember that you're getting close. Remember where you are. Remember where you're going. You know, it's that constant directing of the child, because you're concerned for the child. And it is, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's high above, you know, this or any analogy. Allah sends us reminders out of His mercy that this is just a glimpse, because the zelzala of the hereafter, of the day of judgment, as we're told in the Quran, is a big thing. Inna zelzalat as-sa'ati shay'un 'azim. That the shaking of the hour is a grand, mighty thing. So this is, again, Allah sends us minor signs in this life, minor glimpses in this life of that greater zelzala, of that greater shaking, of that greater storm that is going to hit when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides, and that is the day of judgment. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to wake us up before it's too late. The idea here, the goal, is we want to wake up before we're woken up. And that awakening is going to happen for every single individual, no matter how they lived or what they believed. That awakening happens at death, where the deception of this life is removed. You know, the veil and the deceptions, they crumble, and now people will see things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on that day, the day of of when we meet Allah, or the day actually we leave this life, the day of when our soul is taken from our body, at the time of death, that's the time when our sight is sharp and our sight is keen, and all of a sudden we can see things as they really are. And this is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us when describing the time of death, that the sight on that day is keen and sharp. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to wake us up before it's too late, to wake us up before that awakening, that our awakening will be before the final awakening, inshallah. So we have some people sharing their experiences with the storm or related to the storm. One listener says, it wasn't that bad in my town in Trenton, New Jersey, but a lot of houses lost power and power lines were off like fireworks last night. Wallah, Allah has power over all things. Alhamdulillah, we are safe. Alhamdulillah, you are safe. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep all those in the storm safe. A lot of people are, as the listener said, without power. Here, one listener says, people are actually socializing because there is no power. That means no internet and no TV. So, you know, that there's a lot of different ways to respond when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes something away. Another listener says, does it mean this storm is an opportunity for the rich to feed the poor? Allah ta'ala alam. You know, Allah sends, again, we know that whatever Allah does, He does with a purpose. And you know, one of the opportunities that do arise during times of hardship or during, you know, these types of natural disasters is that does happen, that it's an opportunity for the rich to help the poor, for those who have or those who have not been affected to go and then to help those who are. And there's going to be a lot of relief work that's going to be necessary. And yes, it is an opportunity for people to reach out and help those who have been affected. One person writes, my family is in North Jersey, and I haven't been able to get in touch with them for the past 12 plus hours. They have no power or phone service. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect your family and to, you know, allow you to get in touch with your family. Please keep those families in your du'as, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect them and ultimately to protect us from the punishment of the hellfire. Again, even those who are not affected by this storm today, We all know that there's a larger storm coming, and that's really the understanding that as a believer we need to have when we see these smaller, lesser storms, that there is a greater storm that Allah describes in the Quran. And you know, it's interesting because when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam first got the revelation, towards the beginning of the revelation, he stood up on the mountain and he said to his people, if I told you there was an army coming, would you believe me? And everyone said, of course, we would believe you. You're Sadiq al-Amin. You're the most trustworthy and you never told a lie. And he told them that I am warning you that there is a punishment coming upon you if you don't believe. And it's just so interesting because this is exactly how we are today. More than 1,400 years ago, we're no different. That when the newscast, you know, when the forecast tells you that there's a storm coming, nobody doubts it. You know, the man stands up or the woman stands up on the news and says there's a storm coming. You hear on the radio, they don't even have to prove it to you. They just tell you the storm is coming. And this is what's going to happen. And this is what you have to do to protect yourself and your family. And they'll tell you to go to the basement, you go to the basement. They tell you to evacuate, you evacuate. Why do we do that? We do that because we believe the forecast. We believe that the storm is really coming. And when we're told how to protect ourselves, we hear and we obey. We hear and we obey because we want to protect ourselves and our families. But subhanAllah, Allah is telling us again and again and again in the Quran and in the Sunnah that there is a storm coming. And he also tells us what is going to happen. And he also tells us exactly what it's going, and describes what it's going to look like, sometimes in a lot of detail. And he also tells us how to take shelter. And he also tells us how to protect ourselves and our families. But subhanAllah, we don't listen. It's just like that person who hears that there's a storm coming and says, you know what? I'm actually busy right now. I'm busy online, or I'm busy partying, or I'm busy on Facebook. I'm not going to go to the shelter. I'm not going to go to shelter. I'm not going to go to the basement. I'm not going to evacuate. You told me that if I don't evacuate, I'm going to die. My entire house is going to be destroyed, and my family. But I'm busy right now. Nobody says that. Nobody acts that way. But subhanAllah, this is exactly how we act with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tells us, here there is a storm coming. And Allah doesn't lie. Allah tells the truth. Allah tells us exactly what is going to happen. And then Allah tells us that there are certain things we need to do to protect ourselves. There are certain things that we need to do to take shelter. We need to pray. We need to stay close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to stay away from the things that are haram. We need to stay away from bad company. We need to stay away from the things which are displeasing to Him. This is how we seek shelter, but yet we don't seek shelter. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, why not? Why are we not seeking shelter? Is it that we don't really believe? Is it that we don't really see that the storm is coming? Is it that we just, you know, we believe it in our minds, you know, sort of, you know, in a theoretical way, but we don't really, really, really believe it in an experiential way. We don't really see it. And this is really a question we have to ask, because if I'm going to act, you know, if I'm going to take shelter, I have to really believe the forecast. If I know it, if I believe it, and I know for a fact that a storm is coming, there is no way I'm going to put it off. If I need to evacuate, then I'm going to evacuate then. And there's not going to be anything that's going to be more important. For sure, my party is not more important. For sure, how I look is not more important. I'm not going to look in the mirror and check my hair and you know, try to dress up nice. The fact is, I need to protect myself from the storm. And that's going to be my thought process. And we really need to get into that state where we see these as realities, just like we see this storm. When we were told many days ago that this storm was coming, and we believed it, and we prepared ourselves, and those who were told to evacuate evacuated. This is how we as human beings prepare. But why are we not preparing for the ultimate storm that is coming? And we know for a fact Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks the truth, and Allah tells us that it is coming. There are more experiences that are being shared on the chat box, and we ask you to go ahead and join the discussion. One says, I am from New Jersey and have many family members and friends out there. I grew up in the exact area that was very heavily affected by Hurricane Sandy. The images coming from that area are shocking, but it reminds me that what we went through with this hurricane is nothing compared to what people in Syria have been going through, and for such a long time. So alhamdulillah for the small inconvenience of having the power go out for one night and some flooding compared to the daily bombing, murder, and sadness that they face. This is absolutely true. And this is, again, one of the signs. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a glimpse of something, it's just a glimpse. And it is a glimpse of the greater calamities that are affecting those in other parts of the world. And those greater calamities are just a glimpse of the calamity that will affect all of us on the Day of Judgment. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who are protected and in his shade on that day. Someone else is sharing that they're also from New Jersey, and he says, it's crazy out there. I posted a bunch of pictures on my Twitter at Nihal201. No power, trees everywhere. SubhanAllah. You know, it's always really, you know, powerful when you see a tree that's been knocked down, because I think that when we see trees, it's one of those things we sort of take for granted as being very solid. You don't really imagine that a tree is just going to fall, especially those really massive trees, you know, with the very thick, you know, the thick trunk and it's, you know, has the deep roots. It is, I mean, for me personally, it's a very powerful sight to see such a massive tree pulled out from the roots. It really shows you who's in charge. You know, those things, and it's a lesson to us, because it's those things that we think we take for granted that they're solid. We take for granted that they're there. You don't imagine a house just being lifted up. You don't imagine a massive tree just being pulled out from the roots. But when you see those things, they are signs of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just, where are you really putting your dependence? Where? What is solid? You know, the things, it went, when those things that you think are solid end up just pulled out from the roots, it really makes you question, where is really the solid ground, and what is really, really to be depended on? What is really solid? So, you know, subhanAllah, the trees are one big lesson in that regard. Someone writes, the power of Allah is great. When we see it in these types of situations, it humbles me greatly. And that's exactly what it's supposed to do. You know, someone else writes, ironically, I felt safe and I felt closer to Allah. I felt like He was so near and so close. He reveals to us that He is mulk. You know, this is an interesting point. And I actually completely agree. When you think about what is the most humble position that we can be in, and in fact, the most helpless. And when you reflect on it, you'll find that it is in sajda, that when you're in prostration, you have your head to the ground, your neck is exposed, you're at your lowest point, you're basically in your most helpless and submissive position possible in sajda. And also, it also happens to be the point when you're nearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's no coincidence that when we're at our most submissive and most humble and most helpless position, we are also the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is true that when these things happen and we feel the power of Allah around us, that it does bring us nearer to Him. It's just like the sajda. It's just like that position of helplessness and just submitting and humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the two really do go together, that humility and that nearness. Salikin says, I am from Bangladesh and we can clearly realize the situation during and after a storm. Trust me, it's far more worse here when the storms come, but surely Allah possesses power over everything. May Allah help all those who are affected. Make this incident a medium of hidayah, a medium of guidance. And that's exactly the point. Everything that we experience in this life is intended to bring us closer to Him, is intended to bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just like the ayah told us from Surah Al-Imran, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. These are all signs, you know, all of the creation of the heavens and the earth, the alteration of day and night. These are signs for those who have understanding. These storms are signs. And so you're absolutely right. If these things are bringing us closer and are waking us up, then they've fulfilled their purpose. Then we know that, alhamdulillah, we haven't missed the point. But what we have to fear is that we would experience these things and we'd say, oh, wow, cool, and then move on. You know, it's someone who hasn't been woken up and who has completely missed the point. The idea is we are in a deep sleep. We are in a deep coma, you know, so intoxicated by this life. We are intoxicated. And Allah, out of His mercy, sends things to wake us up, to shake us out of our stupor and to make us see things as they really are. This is one of those. And inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep all those affected by these and other disasters and calamities all over the world safe, but also to wake us up before it's too late. SubhanAllah, it's a scary reality that we will encounter such a day of turmoil and calamity when our mothers, fathers, siblings, friends, and spouses will run away from us in despair. Teaches us a lesson that it will be just ourselves in front of Allah. You know, this is a very true and powerful realization when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Day of Judgment. In fact, yes, there are, you know, there's the description. One of the ways in which Allah describes the Day of Judgment is that, you know, a mother will throw, you know, will put away her own child to save herself, that people will be willing to sacrifice their family members, their spouses, even those who protected them in this world, just to save themselves. This is the horror of the Day of Judgment. This is the reality that we are trying to numb ourselves from. We are trying to escape through our gadgets and through our internet and through our phones and through our friends and our parties. And all of these things are just numbing us and distracting us from this reality. And it's interesting too that this storm comes and these types of things come and they take out our power. You know, it's just like you really can't escape, you know, because these were our escapes, our laptops and our TVs and our electronics. All of these things were our escapes. Allah takes that away. When the power goes, khalas, like it's so much of those things that you use to escape are gone. And even your phone, it's only going to last for so long because then the battery is going to die and you can't recharge it if there's no power. So subhanAllah, it's like Allah, you know, closing those doors of escapes so that we are basically left with only one escape, and that's the right answer. Only one door, and that's the only door, which is the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the amazing thing about storms. And you can take this analogy and it really goes further to all of those hardships in our lives. You know, you find sometimes that when you're in the storm, when you're in the hardship, you try different avenues, right? You know, something hits you, you lose your job, or you don't get accepted to the program that you want, or you couldn't marry the person you want, or something, some hardship hits you, disease, family member loss. And immediately, right when the hardship hits you, you look for support in the creation. You look to this person for help. You call that. You immediately look for the life jackets, right? That the things of the creation, things of the, you look to depend on the means. And you think about this in terms of a storm, that whenever, you know, we're hit by a hardship, usually we tend to do that first. We tend to go to the creation first. We tend to look for the life jacket, to look for the lifeboats. And it's only when every single door is closed, the life jacket is torn, the lifeboat has a hole in it, there's nothing else. We've tried calling our friend, they let us down. We tried asking for help, no one was there. We've tried all the other doors, but they all close. And it's interesting to note that when you're in that hardship, you sometimes find that it's in that period of time, in that state, that everyone you depend on lets you down. And every door you try to knock on, it's slammed shut. SubhanAllah, it's one of those sort of experiences that you start to learn as you go through these things in life. And you know, these things, they happen for a reason. If you imagine that every other door other than the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a false door. It's a door that's, you know, it's like if you open it, if it were to be opened, you would find there's a drop right on the other side of it. Allah keeps those doors closed to protect us. And so when you face that closed door and then another and then another and then another, don't lose hope, don't despair, but realize that sometimes that happens in order to direct you to the correct door and the only door of salvation and refuge, which is the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is, you know, again, you see this in the physical reality, in the storm. You know, these storms come, what do? They shut off power. Now you can't, what are you going to do? You can't depend on your TV. You can't depend on your laptop. You can't use, there's no more escapes, you know, no more of these false refugees or false, any of these false refuges or false dependencies. There is nothing. And so, subhanAllah, it really leads you to focus on the only door and the only salvation and refuge that's actually real. And subhanAllah, then that's exactly right. You know, Muslima says in this storm, people are praying, making dua, and even spending quality time with their wives because they're stuck at home. I mean, I pray for all the victims and safety, but in another sense, it's just that people are turning to God more than ever. And that's exactly what happens when the storm hits. This is an analogy. This is a metaphor for the greater reality. Anytime hardship hits us, this tends to be what happens, that when the hardship hits us, when the storm hits us, that's when we're brought back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's when we're actually, Allah removes those false dependencies so that we can find the true dependency. And alhamdulillah, it brings people closer, and it brings people closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muslima also writes, the storm is a blessing in disguise for many people to look up to Allah and realize the importance of life, because unfortunately not many people have realized the importance of life. Yumna writes, when hardship like this happens, it makes you turn to no one else but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Absolutely. And you know, there's an essay I wrote in my book, Reclaim Your Heart, and it's called The Only Shelter in the Storm. And the whole idea of it, the whole focus is this fact that when the storm hits, metaphorically as well as literally, and there's nowhere else to turn. There's only one refuge. It's like those hardships that we face in life, where we're taught that there's only one place to turn and there's only one place to depend. Inshallah, we will take another short break now. And when we return, we'll continue this discussion and sharing your experiences and your reflections on the storm that has now hit. Assalamu alaikum. This is Yasmin Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. We are talking today about the storm. We have, as many of you know, Hurricane Sandy. We have, you know, and again, you know, actually combining with other storms right now, this massive storm that's hitting the northeast of the United States, and reflecting about what do these storms mean on a grander level? What do they mean in terms of our understanding of this life and of the next and of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What are the purposes of these storms, both literally and metaphorically in our lives? Because even those who, of course, are not experiencing rain and strong winds at this point may be experiencing storms in other aspects of their life, whether emotional or financial or in their relationships, that these are we're always basically experiencing storms in our lives, whether they're literal or metaphoric. And how do we respond to these storms, and what do they teach us? We have listeners sharing their experiences and reflections. Guest 333 writes, the weatherman told us a storm was coming and to take shelter. We immediately took the necessary means to prepare. The Almighty told us the day of judgment is sure to come, and yet we do not take heed. SubhanAllah. Reminder to myself first. And it is a reminder to myself first as well, that these are things that we would never think twice about preparing for if the news told us, if the newscast said, if the weatherman told us, we would never hesitate to prepare. We would never hesitate even to leave our homes and just completely evacuate our homes. This is what the people at the, this is what the companions did, the muhajirun. This is what they did, right? The Prophet ﷺ told them, leave your homes for the sake of Allah. Leave your homes and protect yourselves. And ultimately, what are they doing it for? You know, this was a sacrifice that they made, but they didn't think twice to leave their homes. And this is how we act when the weatherman says, evacuate, leave your homes. But what we have to ask ourselves is, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to leave our homes, to tells us to sacrifice, to leave those things that we desire perhaps, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love. When Allah tells us to leave a particular relationship because it's not pleasing to him, when Allah tells us to leave a particular business dealing because it's not pleasing to him, when Allah tells us to leave a certain way of dressing or a certain way of acting because it's not pleasing to him, are we willing to evacuate? Are we willing to leave our, to leave those things, to leave those things that we love, to leave our homes? We aren't. A lot of times we are not willing. And yet, if the news, if the weatherman told you to leave your home, you'd leave in a second and you wouldn't think twice. You know, this is what people do. They won't think twice about it because they want to protect themselves and their families. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you to leave your dating, to leave interests, to leave, you know, the way that fashion tells you to dress, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to leave that, that that's not the way we're supposed to be dressing. That's not the way we're supposed to be acting. These, we're not able to leave these things which are haram. And yet we would be willing to leave our homes if the weatherman told us to. And it is, subhanAllah, it's a reminder to myself first and foremost that this is the promise of Allah, and the promise of Allah is true. The promise of Allah and His Messenger are true. And they have told us the storm is coming, leave these things. Leave these things behind and protect yourselves. And yet we don't prepare, we don't take heed, and we hold on. It's like, you know, it's like the person who's told, you know, there's a hurricane coming, and if you don't leave this house, your entire home is going to be underwater and your family is going to drown. Who's going to sit there on their couch? Who's going to sit there and hold on to that house when they're being told that unless they leave these things, they're going to drown? No one's going to do that. But subhanAllah, we all do that. We're all doing that. We're all holding on to things. We're all holding on to the haram. We're all unwilling to let go of these things because we're so stuck. We're so attached to them, and we're unwilling to leave them, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the storm is coming, and if you don't leave these things, you will drown, you and your family may be destroyed. But yet we don't leave them because we're so attached and holding on so tight. Subhanallah, subhanallah. It's interesting too, because you know that it's like thinking about that person who's sitting so comfortable in their couch and holding the remote in his hand and watching TV, and you know, there's sirens all around, there's warnings, everything. You know, the storm is coming, this house is going to be underwater, get out, evacuate. And the person says, no, because I don't want to miss this TV show. You know, no, I'm too comfortable in my couch. Or no, I'm on Facebook, I'm checking out someone's profile. You know, no, nobody in their right mind would do that. No, but I'm really comfortable sitting next to this person that I love. I don't want to get up. I don't want to get up. I love this person too much. Nobody does that. But subhanAllah, we are unwilling. We are unwilling to leave these things, even though Allah is telling us that we have to protect ourselves. Marwa says, true that until and unless one is inflicted with any hardship, your soul shakens up and you get to realize this worldly life is nothing but a temporary gain, and that the world hereafter is the world forever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Ameen. It actually makes you feel there's none but Allah, the only protection. It does make you feel that, because that's the reality. And sometimes Allah sends things to take away our blindfolds. We are all blindfolded by this life. We are all blindfolded by the distractions of this life. And we're intoxicated. It's just like a person who's drunk. A person who's drunk cannot think straight because they've taken these intoxicants and it's clouded their mind. But our intoxication is with dunya. It's with the things that we love of dunya. They have intoxicated our minds. So we don't see these things. If someone comes and tells an intoxicated person, you know what, you have to leave your home, you have to, you know, you have to protect yourself, you have to go seek shelter, they don't understand. They can't fully understand the reality. And that's how we are. That's the reason. You know, subhanAllah, we think about, well, what is it? What's causing me to not seek shelter from, you know, Allah says, firru ila Allah, escape to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, wa yuhadhirukumu Allahu nafsa. Allah is saying that He is warning you against Himself. Allah is warning you and me against Himself, against His wrath, against His anger, against His punishment. And His power. Allah has all power. It's all His. It's not anyone else's. And He's warning us against it. And the fact that we don't take it seriously and we don't protect ourselves, there's a reason for it. The question is, what is it? And it's either that we don't really believe, we don't really see the storm coming, or it's that we're so drunk, we're so intoxicated by the things in the dunya that we don't, that we're that drunk, high person who you're trying to tell them that the storm is coming, you're trying to tell them that the hurricane's going to cover their home, but they don't understand. That's our state. We need to wake up out of that, and we need to seek the shelter of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lemya says, subhanallah, I live in the Midwest or Tornado Alley. During a tornado, we grab our emergency kits and head for cover. But in the shelter, some people take comfort in music or books or hugging a loved one. But all I can think of is Day of Judgment and how close it is and how I can improve myself. And alhamdulillah that's what you think of, because that's exactly what we're supposed to think of. These are signs for those who reflect. Remember that. Ulil albab, inna fi, you know, these are inna fi khalq as-samawati wal-ardi wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan-nahari la-ayatin li-ulil albab. It's for those of understanding. It's those people whose hearts are awake and alive and can see. A drunk person cannot understand properly. A blind person cannot see properly. A deaf person cannot hear properly. And when Allah describes these people, He says, summun bukmun umyun. That he's describing these people as summun bukmun umyun, that they're deaf, dumb, and blind. They can't see, they can't hear, they can't speak. This is the description of the one who's heedless, the description of the one. And when Allah talks about al-ghafilun in the Quran, when He talks about the people, the heedless ones, He says, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا, that they have hearts that they don't understand with. And they have ears, they have eyes they don't see with, they have ears that they don't hear with. This is the state and the description of those who are heedless. It's like a drunk person. And we have to, you know, be those people who have a heart that's awake. We have eyes that can see. We have ears. So when we're reminded, we understand. It is natural to get distracted. It's natural to get off course, but when we're reminded, we understand, and we heed those warnings. That's the state and should be the state of a believer. Yumna says, when there are no hardships and life is easy, a person becomes so arrogant, but subhanAllah, by His mercy, He gives us hardships so we can return to Him. Allahu Akbar. It is possible for sure that when things are easy, people become arrogant. And yet there are some who, when things are easy, they are grateful. That's the state of a believer and should be, in fact. But yes, it is a human weakness and it is human nature that sometimes, you know, when things are easy, that does make us heedless and it does make us arrogant. But we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be among those who go between that patience and gratitude. When things are hard, we are patient. And when things are difficult, or when things are easy, we are grateful. And inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again to protect those people who are in any state of hardship, whether in this particular storm or across the world. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect all those people who are in the midst of a different type of storm, because we all have storms in our lives. And whatever type of storm you're facing, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for you. And we ask that it becomes a means for you to get closer to Him, to be reminded of Him, and to awaken us before we are awakened at the time of death. أَقُولِ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفَرَ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُ وَبِحَمْدَكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. غرباء 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 غرباء.